future is in peril. What we need now is a shining hope. Bringing the nation back. One voter at a time. This is Aaron McCready.
Welcome to the program, everyone. I am Aaron McCready, and you're listening live to AM and the PM. We're being heard on blogtalkradio.com and heard around the world and, of course, from coast to coast. Got a great show for you today. Of course, tonight in exactly an hour, we'll be having the vice presidential debate live on TV, and you can see that pretty much on any network. But we're going to get right to this. We have a great guest on today, Malcolm Out Loud. He is a wealth of information. And Malcolm Out Loud is a national news and political commentator, and he's also host of the web TV channel www.malcolmoutloud.tv. That's the home of his news magazine. He's also a published author, speaker, and talent behind a daily radio feature, The Out Loud Minute. Now, The Out Loud Minute features Malcolm, and it is witty, and it's a 60-second take on the daily on the news of the day. And it's broadcast on over 600 stations around the country and reaches an audience of around 16 million listeners. Malcolm, welcome back to the program.
Hello, good to be with you.
Well, I appreciate it. Let's get right to it. We've got a big night ahead of us tonight, and I just want to get your take on what you think the topics will be, and also how will Joe Biden react? Will he behave himself? And also, how will Paul Ryan he's a newcomer to the national political scene. How will he respond?
Yeah, well, all good questions. Let me get my crystal ball out. I got it. Well, you know, here you go. You can't discount the vice presidential debate. A lot of people say that it doesn't matter. It obviously does matter. The importance of what's going to happen in the VP debate will either keep the momentum, you know, headed the right direction for Mitt Romney. And let's face it, he's had some serious momentum since the 3rd of October when the presidential debate, the debacle, as we call it, happened. And so now at this point, I think it's up to Paul Ryan to step up to the plate and to keep that momentum in place for Mitt Romney. But you cannot discount the vice president out. Now, clearly, everybody believes that he has a gaffe a minute, and no question, he could have a show on Comedy Central. I mean, the guy is absolutely hysterical for a politician, you know. I think really, though, Jon Stewart, Colbert, and Joe Biden, it'd be perfect, you know.
That'd be awesome.
But you know, the thing is, but you know, if you remember, do you remember did you see the VP at the, speak at the DNC?
I did.
Okay. Well, you remember he did a darn good job.
Right.
You know? He wrote, in fact, he had the better speech that night, if you ask me. I think he was way more advanced than the president was. I don't think he had a great speech at the DNC either. So you can't discount, you know what it is? The first moment, the presidential debate on the 3rd, we all thought, well, obviously, you know, Romney's not a great debater. The president's a great orator. He's going to come out and he's going to blow this thing away.
Sure.
It's never what you expect. And so tonight, going into this debate, the problem is that, you know, we all suspect that the vice president is going to be a clown and he's going to have a couple of gaffes, but you can't count on that because psychologically, when people rise to the occasion, which is very possible for this VP, this debate is important. It could go the other way and Paul Ryan could have a bad night. So, you know, it's hard to say what's going to happen with this, but I think Joe Biden is going to come after Paul Ryan on his budget. I think he's going to try to belittle Paul Ryan, and I think he's going to try to show that he's an extremist on the right. That's what the vice president, I think, is going to do.
Well, do you think Joe Biden, he in 2008 when he was debating Sarah Palin, he treated her almost
right.
With kid gloves so he wouldn't look to women as a bully? That he's going to come out at Ryan with, you know, some punches and jabs. But do you think because he's been sequestered for the most part for the past 6-7 days preparing for this, that he's so used to being unhinged, and as you say, he has a gap a minute because of that, that he just will not know how to take, you know, he'll feel like he's restrained because he's been prepped so much for this.
Yeah, you know, too much preparation is no good either. But, of course, lack of preparation is no good. The president found that out in the last debate. He took it for granted. Although, you know, there is a lot of talk about maybe the president sandbagged the last debate. Because that's another problem is that, you know, when your star rises too quickly or too soon, in other words, he was ahead in the polls, the president was, and I think he was afraid that, you know, this momentum may change at the last minute. That's something Romney has to be very careful of. There's an awful lot of daylight between now and November 6th, and an awful lot can happen here that could change the momentum of this debate, of this race, just like that last debate did. You bring up a good point, though, with Sarah Palin and all. I think Biden was on his very best behavior. You can't go in there like an animal, especially with, you know, a woman VP candidate like that. And he was a little different. In fact, that debate was very interesting in the last cycle. And actually, Sarah did pretty well. She held herself up well. But this one here, I think you pointed it out, and I think the VP is going to go after. I think Biden is going to go after Paul Ryan. I expect to see a pretty aggressive VP. And you know, the VP can the VP can be much more aggressive than the president can. You know that,
right?
So he actually it can be the tough guy, and I think I think we're going to see some of that tonight. I don't think he's going to lie down. And Joe gets pretty ahead of himself. When he starts to get pretty wound up, the words start flying. So Paul Ryan, if he has studied Joe Biden at this point, and I'm sure he has, I wouldn't expect Paul Ryan to be pushing buttons all night long to see if he could get the VP to get Joe to sound off. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
I think it's going to be an interesting night. In fact, I have an extra bottle of wine just for this evening because I think it's going to be a two-bottle night.
Yeah, it may be. I mean, like you said, you never know what's going to happen in these debates. You know, no one ever expected Barack Obama, the master communicator in some people's eyes, to have a debate like he did back on the 3rd. So, you know, it could be Joe Biden's night. It could be Paul Ryan's night.
It could be.
You know, I think that
some of us think that the president really wasn't at the last debate. We think that the White House sent an imposter, lookalike. So we're not even sure it was Obama. It may have been an imposter at the last. This guy last. I mean, come on, he did not look presidential at all. His body language. Listen, for you to get a swing in the polls, and we're talking nationally. We're also talking the swing states. Do you realize some of these polls have swung as much as 12%?
Oh, that's unreal.
That is unheard of. I mean, short of Romney showing up with a gun, I'm not sure how you make that kind of a swing happen. You understand?
Right, the independent vote. I mean, the independents. You know, some states are 16-point swing just in independents. I mean, it's just wild.
These independents, by the way, and some of these undecideds, they're idiots. I mean, they are some of the stupidest people going, really, though, seriously. I mean, if you wake up this morning and you think, I am really having a hard time deciding, do I want Obama or Romney? Obama, Romney, Obama. You've got to be an idiot. I mean,
right. These
guys are so far apart, they're not even in the hemisphere. Come on, man.
Oh, I know.
But how can you be undecided at this point? Wake up, get some coffee, smell the roses, do something, man.
Well, speaking of the polls and undecideds, why do you think Obama is doing as well in the polls as he is with the state of the economy, the jobs? I mean, to me, I mean, his numbers should just be bottoming out, but they're still 47-50%.
Well, that's a valid question, Obviously, that question was more valid a couple of weeks ago before the debate, naturally, but you're right. He's still doing fairly decent in the polls. Whereas an incumbent president like this with this kind of record, you have to scratch your head and say, my God, why isn't he like behind in double digits?
Right.
You know, this has been a very peculiar race, this whole thing has been. And you do have to question yourself, why are Americans so forgiven and allowable for what has been a devastated 4 years? If you take it back to the president's promises in 08, he clearly hasn't delivered. I mean, everything is upside down backwards. I mean, listen, he went after Bush and lambasted Bush for having high gas prices. Okay, what does he do? He doubles them. So we now have double the gas prices. So much. How's that energy independence working for you folks?
Oh, sure.
Along with that hope and change. I mean, yeah, energy independence, it's a joke. And then the debt, he calls President Bush unpatriotic for having a debt that he goes ahead and doubles on top of his.
Oh, sure.
So this has not been a real, if you take a look at the president's track, and this is why Romney won the last debate, by the way. And, you know, I actually called Mitt Romney that morning, and I gave him all of this advice, and he took it, which was go after the president point by point, policy by policy. There's enough garbage on his record. You don't have to make stuff up, man. You don't have to lie. You don't have to make it. Just go point by point, policy by policy. You will defeat the president based on this record. He obviously did that, correct?
Oh, sure. And, you know, even his demeanor was very presidential. He looked Obama in the eye. And that shot of behind Obama with Mitt Romney looking right at Obama and Obama looking down. I mean, he looked puny, weak, defeated.
Crazy debate. I mean, the president had his head up as you know what. And, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, the impact and the body language of this president, he looked like he was already defeated. He kept looking down at his notes. It was such a bad debate that, again, the result, and I said that they could swing a lot, and they swung pretty severe. He actually has made up like a 10-point deficit in Ohio to about – they're about running even now. And in some polls, he's actually jumped ahead, which is amazing.
Right.
Now, obviously, if Romney takes Ohio, Florida, and Virginia should follow, Colorado, the race is over. He's got it. You know, we know where the rest of them are going. It's these few swing states in the, as I call them, the idiots who can't decide between Obama and Romney. You know, it's a shame. We've come down to a presidential general election in our country. All the smart people know who to vote for, and all the idiots are hanging around wondering, which one should I vote for? Think about it. You know, we're leaving the future of the president of this country to a bunch of idiots.
Oh, and this is horrible. No wonder we're in the shape we're in.
Exactly my point.
I got one question for you, and this I cannot figure out for the life of me. And I have friends and family that are Democrats, and they are still for Obama. You know, the same question I asked before, but they make money. They see what Obama wants to do with taxes, take away tax and tax and tax. I cannot understand for the life of me why they still support Obama.
Well, you know what it is, and I know a lot of people like the type you're speaking of right now. And I hope, will those family members be listening to the show by chance?
Who knows? They could be, maybe not. I don't know. But go ahead, please.
I wonder if they support you or don't support you. But let me tell you why this is. The reason this happens, and no matter what the record is, there are still those people that, like you say, support the president. It really just comes down to ideology, the ideology of these people. There are Democrats who will vote Democrat, whether the guy is a mass murderer. We could find out, you know, next week that Obama's been killing people in the basement, and we have the evidence, and there would still be people voting for him for president. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he's royalty.
He's a Democrat.
Right.
Huh?
I said, you know, he's royalty.
The guy could be a mass murderer.
Right.
You know, they'd be, sign me up. I still like this guy. For what reason? He's a Democrat. Okay. And it's the same with the Republicans. They're the same idiots. You know, it could be the same guy on the other side, and the Republicans. See, this is the problem with this country, is ideology. I'm not the kind of guy that goes in and votes down the right side or the left side. I vote the politician. I vote by their record. I vote by the actions that I've seen, or I look at, you know, what the problems are, and can this candidate do something for our country, or whatever that election happens to be. I mean, you can't vote the party. That's the problem, what I'm seeing right now, as to why we're in this boat, is too many people just vote the party.
Right.
And, you know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And one thing I always say on my show is we need to look at this election like we're sitting on the board of a major, major company. In this instance, our company is our country. And is their CEO, is he doing the things that he promised that he would 4 years ago? Or do we need to renew his contract? Or do we need to fire him and replace him with someone else?
You know, if I was president, if I was fortunate enough or crazy enough, and I was taking the role, my race, I would fire them all. I would absolutely get up there. I would I would mass produce those pink slips, and they would know in advance. Ben Bernanke, Timothy Geithner, they'd all be gone. The entire cabinet, the rest of them, all the way down the line, they'd all be gone. And we'd bring in some competent people. I'd bring in people from the business community. Mm-hmm. I'd bring in people from the healthcare community. I'd bring in some non-attorneys. Congress is made up of attorneys, for God's sakes. We need to elect more than just attorneys to Congress. We need to elect some people with some brains. And people that have gone, we need some politicians that are not going to do things just for short-term gains. We need politicians who are going to do things for the long-term, for our country, for our children, and for future generations. We don't have that right now. We have politicians who are going to do just enough to get by, just enough to get enough votes to get into the next seat or to bolster their career. It's all short-term gains. That's the problem with our system. And we don't have people that are brazen enough to go against the system. That's right. The problem, man.
Right. Well, one last question, and I know you need to go. There's a big night ahead of us. But
you've got to get ready for that VP debate, buddy.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, since you do have your crystal ball out, who would you think is going to do better tonight, the newcomer Paul Ryan or the old veteran Joe Biden?
I think it's going to be pretty close. I have to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to be a knockout like the presidential race was. Mm-hmm. I think Joe Biden will step up to the plate very well. I don't expect him to be a complete fool. And especially after the polls have swung now and Obama really trashed the last debate, I don't expect the vice president to do that. I think he'll be on his very best behavior tonight. But Paul Ryan is an excellent communicator and a fantastic speaker. I would give unless something happens that Ryan crosses that line somehow or gets ahead of himself, I think you'd have to put the momentum into Paul Ryan's court right this moment. But I think it's going to be a lot closer tonight, to be honest with you, you know?
Right.
It's not going to be a knockout.
Well, I guess time will tell, and we will see in about 40
minutes. And the big one next
40
week
minutes.
Is going to be huge, obviously, the town hall debate with Romney and Obama. Everybody will be tuned into this one again. With 67 million, by the way, tuned into that last debate.
Right.
That's a huge audience.
Right. Huge. And that's Obama.
They don't expect that crowd tonight, but it'll still be important, you know?
Right. Well, Malcolm Out Loud, I appreciate you coming on. And by all means, you know, if that number for Mitt Romney, if you ever want to share it, by all means, just slip me an email.
I will do that, buddy. And listen,
right.
One thing, Aaron, too, to let folks know that to connect up with us at Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and our email is speakup@malcolmoutloud.com. And as you know, Aaron, for those that love me even more, you can email me at shutup@malcolmoutloud.com. That also works, okay?
Well, sounds great, and thank you again for coming on the show. You've been a great friend to the show, and look forward to speaking with you again.
Good to be with you, Aaron. Take care now.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Malcolm Out Loud, and as you know, he has the Malcolm Out Loud Minute. That is heard on over 500 radio stations across the country and 16 million listeners. You know, as he said earlier, it's going to be close. This debate is going to be very close. After this last debate with Obama and Romney, and Obama just stinking it up, it's going to be very important for these two tonight to have a very good showing. If you want to be a part of the show, please give us a call at 646-200-3400, 646-200-3400. You can also go online and join the online chat going on right now as we speak at blogtalkradio.com. That's /Aaron McCready, AaronMCCREADY, and you will see the live broadcast link. Just click on that, and it'll take you right to the chat room. We've got Adam in there facilitating that for us, and you also talk to Adam to see if you can get on the air with me. So 646-200-3400. Again, that debate is coming up in about 40 minutes, and Joe Biden has a long, long, long history of coming unhinged and unglued. A lot of gaffes in his history. This is what I want to play for you. This happened right when he became vice president, a few months later. He was in Illinois. Don't quote me on that, but I think he was in Illinois. And he was talking to a state senator, Chuck Graham. Now, Chuck Graham was in the audience listening to Joe Biden. And in the audience with a group of people, Joe Biden was acknowledging Chuck Graham. Chuck Graham is unfortunately confined to a wheelchair. But just listen to this right here, and we'll talk about it here in just a second. A major gaffe from Joe Biden.
And I also am told that Chuck Graham, state senator, is here. Chuck, stand up, Chuck. Let me see you. Oh, God love you. What am I talking about? I tell you what, you're making everybody else stand up, though, pal. Thank you very, very much.
Isn't that horrible? Talking to a guy in a wheelchair, doesn't know what in the world is going on. Also, Joe Biden was at a university in Delaware, I think. Listen to this. He didn't even know the name of the university he was speaking at.
Ladies and gentlemen, middle-class families need help.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why, for those of you struggling to send your kid to school, to college, or to keep your kid in a college, whether it's a community college or a Wayne State University or any college in America. Wright State. But Wayne, it also includes Wayne State. It also includes the University of Delaware. It also includes...
And we're back here. Sorry, my microphone was actually on mute. But that was Joe Biden talking at the university, and he didn't even know the university's name. It was Wright State. But, you know, that's the person that's going to be president next, or vice president next. Could be a heartbeat away from the presidency. I mean, do you really want that guy a heartbeat away? God forbid something happened to Barack Obama. And even though he's president, I cannot stand the man. But God forbid something happened to the president of the United States and that man becomes president. You know, my opinion too, and a lot of other opinions, he's a racist. And I'll show you why. This is a quote from him saying at a 7-Eleven and a Dunkin' Donuts. Here, just take a listen. Just take a listen. It's hard to hear at first, but just bear with me and you'll be able to hear it.
As you know, I got a lot of support from you.
More to come, I think.
No, I've had a great relationship. In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking. Oh, it's gigantic.
America, you can't go to a Dunkin' Donuts or 7-Eleven unless you have a slight Indian accent. That's our vice president. That is our vice president. And then listen to this. He is talking in front of a corporation. Listen to this. See if you hear anything.
Even call centers, which rushed overseas in the hundreds of thousands. How many times you get the call? I'd like to talk to you about your credit card, okay? Or that ad on TV. What is it, Nancy? This is Nancy. Can I talk to a supervisor, right? Okay. Well, it's a little overdone, but the truth of the matter is, these jobs now are paying about $19.50 an hour, if memory serves me.
Did you hear that? I mean, this guy, this is out in the open. This isn't behind the scenes. And we're going to hear him debate tonight against Paul Ryan. We're going to get into this in the second half of the show after the news coming up in a minute. But we're going to go into detail more of what they believe, what they think, what they've been prepped for, how long they've been prepped for. We're really going to go into detail. And we're actually going to end the show just a couple minutes early tonight so you guys out there listening can get in front of your TVs and watch the debate that starts at 9 o'clock because this show is scheduled to go right up until 9. But we'll cut it off around 8:58 or so. But also, you know, so many blue-collar workers are Democrats. Why they are Democrats, I cannot understand that to save my life. 646-200-3400 is the show number. 646-200-3400. You know, the last show, just a few days ago, that I had, they, you know, I talked about how much your taxes are going to increase January 1st. And that's partly because the Democrats want the Bush tax cuts to end. That's also because of Obamacare. You'd think Obamacare is free, government health care is free. Where does the government exactly get their money? The government does not have money of their own. They take it from you, they take it from me, they take it from our taxes. That's how they get the money. And they want to take more, ranging from 4 to 5% based upon how much money you make, what your income is. That's what the Democrats want to do. And so I don't understand why the blue-collar workers of America can support the Democrats. I guess the Democrats support the unions support the Democrats, that's it. You know, there was a time and place for unions, but that time and place is long gone. But listen to this, what Biden says. He is almost ashamed of even the blue-collar workers. He talked about how he was not a blue-collar worker. None of his family worked in factories. Just take a listen.
My dad never worked at a food fair. My dad never wore a blue collar. LeBrock makes me sound like I just climbed out of a mine in Scranton, Pennsylvania, carrying a lunch bucket. No one in my family worked in a factory.
No one in my family worked in a factory. Barack Obama makes me sound like I climbed out of a mine in Scranton, Pennsylvania. None of my family are blue-collared workers. And you want to vote for the Democrats. You know, like Malcolm Out Loud said earlier, if you do not know who you're going to vote for right now, after what you've seen the past 4 years, I mean, my goodness, the president has been on the job for 4 years. You don't know how he's done? And you're trying to figure out if you want to vote for Romney? You've got to be an idiot. A total idiot not to know. He's exactly right. Malcolm is exactly right when he said that. And why the independents, 25, 20 days, whatever it is, from the election, still don't know who you're going to vote for? Come on now. I mean, we have the internet, we have Twitter, we have Facebook, we have all these news channels, cable news, network news. It may have been different 20 years ago when we didn't have all these national news channels, corporate news, cable news, undecided up until the election. But you know what? I mean, my goodness, we are living in 2012. Get with it, people. Do some research. Take it upon yourselves. No wonder this country's in the situation that we're in. We have undecided voters less than a month before the election. You know, later on, like I said, we're going to talk about what's coming up in the debate tonight. What Paul Ryan's going to say. What Joe Biden will say. And we'll see. We'll see who wins. You know, they're both going to be sitting down. It's not going to be at podiums tonight like it was in the presidential debate. They're going to be sitting down, more of a conversation. If you remember last year when we had the vice presidential debate, they were sitting down. It's going to be the same type of way. So it's going to be harder for them to get really riled up, really stirred up, and really talk about, and you really get, you know, really fuss at each other. They're going to have the moderator there, and it's going to be more of a discussion. So don't expect any big, big fireworks. But you can expect some gaffes from the vice president. You can't expect those. I mean, he is known for those. Paul Ryan, newcomer to politics. He's been in Congress, but hasn't really been on the national stage in some time. Never, you know, really, ever. So it's going to be new to him, too. You know, he's been prepping ever since the Republican National Convention. Every time he's been in his hotel room or away from the cameras, he's been prepping. So he is very, very prepped. And then Joe Biden, he's been prepping for the past 7 days, I believe. And they actually took him off the campaign trail to prepare for it. Took him off the campaign trail to prepare for it. And so that was the best thing that the Democrats could have ever done for Barack Obama, was take him off the campaign trail so he didn't have any gaffes. But we're getting ready to take a news break here in just 1 second. Stay with us through the news. We'll be right back after this. And again, we will talk about, right after this, what's going to happen tonight. We'll be right back.
All this comes on the eve of the first and only scheduled vice presidential debate, with less than a month till the election and polls apparently tightening. The stakes are, well, they're high. Vice President Biden under pressure to reverse Governor Romney's momentum following President Obama's debate performance, or lack thereof. The VP has decades of experience.
That was just a preview of what's coming up in the second half hour. But right here, for you all, here's the news.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. Setting the tone for tonight.
Now, I enjoyed my debate about a week ago. That was a good experience.
Mitt Romney speaking in Asheville, North Carolina, and looking ahead to what happens in a couple hours in Kentucky.
I have a feeling I'm going to enjoy tonight's debate as well.
That will feature the vice presidential candidates. Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern has a live preview in Danville, Kentucky.
This is a sole duel between Vice President Joe Biden and Republican running mate Paul Ryan. Posters around campus here at Center College calling the debate the thrill in the ville.
Nobody is better at talking about the economy in very human terms than Vice President Biden.
Kentucky Democrat Congressman John Yarmuth expecting an aggressive vice president. Republican Senator Ron Johnson offering this advice to Paul Ryan.
What Paul needs to do is just show the American public who he is. I think they're going to like what they see. Now, somebody who is a man of integrity, intelligence.
No podiums tonight. Both debaters instead will sit at a table, Ron.
Jared, President Obama in Florida cast a critical eye toward Romney.
After running for more than a year in which he called himself severely conservative, Mitt Romney is trying to convince you that he was severely kidding.
The president at the University of Miami. 14 people have died of meningitis in an outbreak blamed on contaminated steroid injections.
Those lots of contaminated steroids were subject to an involuntary recall, and that those lots are no longer in any patient care settings in the state of Florida.
Dr. John Armstrong is Surgeon General in Florida, where two people have died. The meningitis cases cover 170 people in 11 states. Baseball's San Francisco Giants waiting to see who they will play in the National League Championship Series. St. Louis trying to finish off Washington. They are tied at 1-1 in the ninth inning of their Game 4. The Giants eliminated Cincinnati with a 6-4 win today. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Stay connected to Fox News Radio for your favorite talk shows, newscasts on the hour and half hour, and the podcasts that take you a step deeper inside of Fox News. Don't miss a single minute of Your World with Neil Cavuto daily by subscribing to the Daily Podcast.
I'm Neil Cavuto.
Get news and insight on Wall Street and other market activities, and get a wrap-up of the business news of the day.
Don't tell me about federal programs that stick to their budget. They don't.
It's Cavuto, when you want it, and where you want it. Subscribe now by going to foxnewsradio.com and click on the podcast button for Your World with Neil Cavuto. And check out other Fox News Radio podcasts, including John Gibson's My Word.
Hi, I'm John Gibson. You can get My Word every day for no holds barred opinion on the big stories of the day. Gibson, when and where you want, at foxnewsradio.com. Just click on the podcast button.
It may be a while before the accused Movieplex shooter in Colorado learns if he must go to trial. Live in our West Coast Bureau, Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal.
Ron, that's because an attorney for James Holmes says they can't be ready for a preliminary hearing in November, so it may get pushed to next year. Another focus in court today was on the media complaint that too much information in court documents has been blacked out. The prosecution said it's necessary because the media has been harassing victims and others. The doctor to whom Holmes sent a notebook before the shooting apparently can't even stay in her own home. Speaking of the notebook, the judge told Holmes' attorneys that they could have a hearing on whether law enforcement leaked information about what was inside that notebook, Ron.
Jessica, Turkey's government says it forced a Syrian passenger plane to land yesterday because it suspects the aircraft was filled with military ammunition being provided by Russia. The move has provoked new tension, but it comes with the blessing of the U.S. government.
We would be concerned by any effort to supply military equipment to the Assad regime, because it's clearly being used by the regime against their own people.
State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland of Syria's government says Turkey was guilty of airborne piracy and that the plane was illegally searched. No adjustment of your road sign is necessary down east, or is it?
Many drivers likely doing double takes at a Portland, Maine road construction site where an electronic message board instead of reading night work expect delays, it cautioned...
Warning, zombies ahead.
Apparently changed by a hacker, and while some may have been amused, Portland Communications Director Nicole Clegg says...
As there was not a zombie apocalypse, it was not the appropriate use.
City officials citing driver distraction as a danger, tampering with a safety device punishable by up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. Lillian Wu, Fox News Radio.
In baseball, Jason Worth has just hit a home run to give Washington a 2-1 win over St. Louis, forcing a fifth and deciding game tomorrow in their playoff series. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
All right, it's central time.
We would like to welcome you. This is only just begun.
He has the ability. He has the technology. He has the desire. Aaron McCready. He's ready to rip it up.
This is amazing stuff.
Are you ready for him?
Do it. Do it.
Make some noise! Aaron McCready. Let's go.
From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule. That government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people. But if no one among us is capable of governing himself, then who among us has the capacity to govern someone else? We're not, as some would have us believe, to an inevitable decline. It is time to check and reverse the growth of government, which shows signs of having grown beyond the consent of the governed. Can we solve the problems confronting us? Well, the answer is an unequivocal and emphatic yes. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans.
Good the show, everyone. My name is Aaron McCready, and you're listening to AM and the PM. If you're just joining us, you've missed Malcolm Out Loud. He's heard on over 600 radio stations by 16 million people nationwide. And their calling number is 646-200-3400 if you want to be a part of the program. That is 646-200-3400. Now, as promised, we're going to get right into it, and we're going to talk about tonight's debate, what they would be talking about, what maybe some of the statements that they've said in the past. Some things that Biden may get Ryan on, Ryan may get Biden on. And so we're going to get right into that. You know, Biden, as I said before, has a lot of gaffes. And, you know, one of the gaffes, he's overstated actually by 1.1 million jobs, the number of manufacturing jobs that were lost before President Obama took office. He said in a statement that the U.S. lost 5.8 million manufacturing jobs during the 2000s before they came in. But that figure includes, in 2009, Obama's first year in office. So we actually lost 4.7 million jobs before the Obama administration. And get this. I want you to hear this, because the president and vice president will make you think that we're gaining jobs. But he also cherry-picked some of his job figures when he declared that the U.S. had added 430,000 new jobs since 2010. Now, that's true. They did add 430,000 jobs. But what he didn't tell you is that since the start of the Obama administration, including those 430 jobs that was created overall, we have 661,000 fewer manufacturing jobs. That's despite those 430,000 gains. 661,000 fewer jobs, even with a 430,000 job gain. You know, he also said that manufacturing was back. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here today with a message that manufacturing is back." How can manufacturing be back, Mr. Vice President, when 661,000 fewer jobs? That just doesn't affect 661,000 people. That affects their families, the businesses they go and they shop at, get their goods and services from. That affects them. 646-200-3400 is the show. You know, we are in a bad state. In February 2012 of this year, there was a total of 11,891,000 manufacturing jobs. And again, that's 660,000 jobs down since Obama took office. And if you're undecided on who you're going to vote for, if you're one of those few that you don't know who you're going to vote for after what we've been through the past 4 years, and Barack Obama himself said that if he didn't get this economy turned around, he was looking at a one-term proposition. Well, I have to say it's time to fire Barack Obama and bring in someone new. That's what I think. If you disagree with me, call in. I do want to talk to you about some things that we need to look for in tonight's debate. Again, the debate comes up, in about 19 minutes at 9 o'clock. You know, one thing that I'm really going to be looking for is Joe Biden going to go where Barack Obama didn't go? You know, over history, the vice presidential debates hasn't really been a game changer. Not as many people call in or watch, I guess, or tune into the radio and listen as they would the presidential debates. But how aggressive is Biden going to be? You know, Barack Obama, he just humiliated himself at this last debate. Humiliated himself. And I think Biden's going to be much more aggressive. He's known for being aggressive. He wasn't aggressive, you know, 4 years ago when he was running against Sarah Palin because, as I said previously, he didn't want to look like that he was going to bully women. He didn't want to turn the women off. But also, Joe Biden has a very, very low approval rating going into this. So it's a little bit tricky for him. He needs to go in with the mindset that, hey, you know, I need to be aggressive, but I don't want to turn any more people off than I already have. I actually need to reverse what they think. You know, he needs to be more charming. He needs to be more personable. You know, he doesn't need to knock the blue collars like we just heard. He doesn't need to do something like that. But then Paul Ryan, too, you know, to get on top of him, he is a numbers guy, and he is extremely smart, but he needs maybe dumb himself down a little bit for the American people. Because there's no one in Washington, no one really in the country that knows the budget better than Paul Ryan. And so he can get into all this math and really spin our heads. He doesn't really need to do all that. He needs to stick to the issues like terrorism, immigration, Social Security issues, and really try to throw Joe Biden off his game. Because if he starts talking about numbers too much, the American people, it's going to go right over the American people's heads. The American people are a smart group of people. But if you start talking about this and that and that and this, it's really going to confuse everybody. And in the short amount of time, they only have an hour and a half tonight. In the short amount of time, they only have one vice presidential debate this year. That's it. Yeah, it's extremely crucial that they make a very, very good statement and image with the American people. You know, so we don't want to see Paul Ryan get into that trap where he's too smart, because then it will seem like that he's very condescending toward the American people, and we he doesn't want that. Well, and one thing that I'm going to be looking for also, and I think you should be too, is Biden, Joe Biden, going to think about Social Security? Is he going to bring up Social Security? Paul Ryan backs a movement to put Social Security into private investment accounts, so that way the American people can choose how you want to invest that. Give us a call, 646-200-3400. But the Democrats, they don't want you to really have that choice. The Democrats want you to be more reliant on government. I mean, my goodness, we have Barack Obama. You know, Newt Gingrich back in the primaries called Barack Obama the food stamp president. Barack Obama, more people have went on food stamps and government assistance than any other period in our history. And what do I always say? I always say that the politician's number one job is to get reelected. And the more people that the Democrats put on the government toll, the government dime, then the more likely those people will vote for the Democrats so they can keep getting their money. What does that say about those people? Now, there's some exceptions. I know that. But for the most part, it just creates a system that, oh, me, 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 give to me, me, me. I deserve this. I deserve that. Give it to me, me, me. Let me sit here on my couch eating my bonbons and let everybody else do the work for me so their hard-earned dollars can come into my pockets. That's what the government believes. So Joe Biden, he wants the government to have total control over Social Security. He doesn't trust you with your money. Paul Ryan wants to put Social Security, turn it over to make it private investment accounts so you can choose how to invest your money. That's what we need to be looking for. And we're going to see how Paul Ryan has sharpened his debate skills, too. Again, he hasn't really been on the national stage. But I am sure that he is very well prepared for this. But, you know, it's one thing to be prepared and to practice. But when those lights come on, those cameras come on, and you are live on TV, and you have a nationwide audience, it's a little bit different. You can't really prepare for that. You can't prepare for the moment. It's like when you're driving a car, learn how to drive a car. You can read all the textbooks you want. You can really know the ins and outs of driving a car. You know where the gear shift is. You know where the blinkers are. You know how to switch lanes. You know how to hold your hands 10 and 2. But until you get behind that wheel, you have no idea what you're in for. You don't know your capabilities. You don't know your aptitudes and abilities. You don't know what it's like until you get behind that wheel. And that's what it's going to be like tonight for Paul Ryan. You know, he is a very smart guy, but we can see him fall flat on his face. And, you know, as my program notes say about this show, unafraid and aggressive, I'll take on anyone, including Republicans. Well, Paul Ryan may fall flat on his face tonight. It's going to be something to watch. We've got Joe Biden. He's been in 15, 20 debates in his career, national debates. Well, senatorial debates, which is mainly Delaware. But still, he's been in multiple primary debates. He's ran for the presidency a few times. So he is very skilled at debates. Now, whether he's going to be so restricted from the Obama administration, what he can say, and so prepped that he may fall flat in his face too, I don't know. We'll see in about 12 minutes. And also, we know about Joe Biden. We know about Barack Obama. We have a good bit of knowledge from Mitt Romney from running for the presidency last time and then this time. But can the American people really see Paul Ryan as a commander-in-chief? You know, if Mitt Romney gets elected to the presidency, and God forbid something happens to Mitt Romney, and he is incapacitated or dies, can no longer hold the office of president, can we see Paul Ryan as a president? Does he have what it takes? You know, what we need to look for is, you know, is he going to stumble at first? They both may stumble at first, but in the long haul, we need to look at that. We need to look and see if in the long haul, if he is going to, you know, is nerves going to cease? Get better, and then he'll shine. So, you know, in the first few minutes of the debate, if you see Paul Ryan, Joe Biden stumble, hey, you know, their campaigns are in their hands at that moment in time. Joe Biden's got a lot of pressure on him. He's got to make up for the lackluster performance of the president. And then Paul Ryan, he's a newcomer. He needs to, you know, keep the ball moving down the field. That's a lot for people. A lot of pressure on your shoulders when you're not the number one top guy. When you're just playing second fiddle, so to speak. You know? It's a lot. You know, fact checking. I was doing some fact checks, and factchecking.com is a good site. Or factcheck.org, I should say, is a good site. You know, the president, and then this is what it says in here too. The Obama administration said that U.S. automakers are back on top of the world. But that's not true. You know, according to factcheck.org, and you can go look it up yourself, GM has slipped back to number two and is headed for third place in global sales behind Toyota and Volkswagen. And, you know, it's just things like that. Blatant lies that the Obama administration puts out there. And that's part of the reason in this last debate, and we're going to see it maybe in this vice presidential debate, we're going to see that, you know, these lies are going to be confronted by the Republican Party. And when facts are brought to you, how are you going to react to it? How are you going to react to that? What can you possibly say to dispute a lie on national TV? You know, it's not like 50 years ago when you just had two or three networks. There were no computers. You know, you had to go even 60, 70 years ago, you had to go to a movie theater to get the news. You know, it's not like that anymore. We can check while they are speaking to make sure they're accurate in their facts. And we're going to see tonight Joe Biden. He said that anything he says is going to be absolutely 100% true. He said that. So we're going to see. We're going to hold him to that. We're going to see if he has those gaffes. We're going to see if Paul Ryan can step up to the plate. And, you know, the Democratic Party has been attacking Paul Ryan for his inexperience. He's only been in Congress. He's been in Congress for 16 years, but still. I mean, look at our president. He didn't even serve one full term. And in an interview with Sean Hannity, Vice President Dick Cheney, you know, when Barack Obama was senator, you know, as we all know, the vice president is also president of the Senate. He barely even knew Barack Obama because he was on there half the time. Barack Obama voted, you know, present the majority of the time, so he wouldn't have to take an issue. So, you know, they're going to attack a vice presidential candidate for having no experience. Or what experience did the president have? Well, he was a community leader, community organizer, then was in the Illinois State Senate, and then ran for Senate of the United States, and then president. You know, at least Paul Ryan's been in there for 16 years. Barack Obama was only there a handful of years, not even a full term. A term in the Senate, 6 years. Not even a full term was Barack Obama in the Senate. And why did we even vote him in office to begin with, into the presidency, having little experience? When you have someone with no experience, you know what you get? You get the economy, you get the job market, you get everything that we have right now. That's what you get. You know, one thing I want to bring up too is, back 4 years ago, you saw these college kids on street corners, and you saw all these political signs. You saw Obama everywhere. You saw these stickers everywhere. You know, I mean, my goodness, I live here in Atlanta, and that's where the show's broadcast from. And you'd drive down, you know, down in Buckhead, if you're familiar with Atlanta, or Midtown, or downtown Atlanta, and there'd be these huge hordes of college kids on each street corner holding up Obama signs and out, you know, handing you Obama flyers. Where are they at now? Those same college kids, that were out there holding Obama flyers and Obama signs realized, 4 years later, I'm out of school and, I can't get a job. Where are they at now? I mean, you go around, drive around neighborhoods across this country, and there's not even a presidential election going on, it seems like. I mean, you see a few Romney signs. My wife and I drove from Atlanta to Helen, Georgia, and Helen, Georgia, back to Atlanta last weekend. You know how many Romney and Obama signs I saw? I saw maybe 4 Romney signs and maybe 1 Obama sign. So I don't know what's going on. It's like we're not even having an election. I don't know if the American people's really that engaged. Yeah, you know, it got 67 million viewers, the last debate. But are we really that engaged? We have a heck of a lot of people that are undecided. If you're undecided, like Malcolm Out Loud said earlier in the first half of the show, you've got to be a moron. You really do. If you don't know who you're going to vote for, whether it's Obama or whether it's Mitt Romney, at this point, it doesn't really matter. But it's just that you're undecided. That really says a lot about your intelligence. Why don't you do some research? Less than a month to go before the presidential election. Do you want 4 more years of what we had? 4 more years of what we had? Or do you want to take a chance? How much worse for you can it get? How much worse for your friends and neighbors that don't have a job, that can't get a job, that have to take part-time work, even if they can get that? And like I said earlier, it doesn't just affect the person that doesn't have a job. It affects their family, their kids, sons, daughters, wives, husbands. It can even affect their parents, if their parents are elderly and live with them. You know, we see these job numbers. Why don't you multiply that times 5, times 10? That's how many people's really out of work. That's how many people's out of work. Friends of the unemployed. You know, we've got a vice presidential debate coming up here in 3 minutes. We're going to end the show just a little bit early, so you can get to your TVs and watch. And if you truly are undecided, you need to watch these next 3 debates. We've got debates coming up tonight at 9 o'clock. And we have, in 5 days, the second presidential debate on Tuesday. Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. And that's going to be a town hall style debate. Again, it's been an honor and privilege to be with you. I'd like to thank Malcolm Out Loud, heard on over 600 radio stations, and 16 million people listen to him. It's been an honor and pleasure to be with you. Check the website, blogtalkradio.com/Aaron McCrady, for future episodes. You can also go to aaronmccrady.com and listen to all the previous episodes that we've had here recently. Again, go to your TVs, go watch with an open mind. Thank you, and have a great night.